And that is the end of this edition of Weekending, in which you heard the voices of David Jason, Bill Wallace, David Tate and Sheila Stiefel, and the music of the David Furman Trio. The script was written by Guy Jenkin, John Langdon, Richard Quick, Max Alcock, Roger Waddis, Gail Renard, Tom McGee Englefield, Michael Mahoney and Celia Gouge, Richard Andrews, Chris Miller, Philip Munnock, Arnold Brown, Graham Dakin, Sandra Pronger, Colin Bostock-Smith, Chris Pryor, Rob Buckman and Trevor Adams, Peter Spence, John Mason, Reginald Widders, Gavin Osborne, Max Alcock, Andy Hamilton, George Ball, Mike Rawnsley and Keith Long, Adam Smith Adams, Simon Rose, Barry Pilton, Peter Hickey, Manny Curtis, Alistair Beaton and Max Alcock. With additional material by Chris Clark Crowther and Clarence Crawley, Steve Sherman, Sean Saatchi and Stella Shaw, Ez Brinsley and Gus Dudgeon, Andy Kilmurray-Foote, Stan Gurnhill, Dorothy Grott-Davis, Ian Lomax and Amanda Thrutch, Laurie Lucan, Lawrence Lazenby, Lou Lana Laxativeson and Lenny Lowe, Andy Scott Higgis, Mike Goebbels, Gordon Stretch, Frank Gayboy and Les Kirbis, Fred Stoops, the Earl of Litchfield and Harry Carpenter, Jaime Bloom, Chris Gonad and Anwar Gaddafi, Elvis Throb, Ernie Spickett Hathaway and Nina McGall Sips Clarker, Sue Bosanquet, Joe Ruskin, Pete Ledwanier Russo and Eddie Hodd, Rog Snake, Rick McDonald, Sam Kwok Alfalfa and John Biffin, Sid Probeskin Bayliss, Tudor Drott, Wally Schofield and the Isley Brothers, Andy Poe.
Well, we apologise to fans of Weekending for that somewhat unwarranted outburst. In future, the closing credits on Weekending will be kept considerably shorter by reading out the names of the people who listen to it.
We apologise most sincerely for that last fake continuity announcement. Bing! This was, in fact, just another rather predictable routine emanating from the so-called smash hit TV series, The Burkis Way. Bing! In future, to help listeners distinguish between real announcements and those of a facetious, spoofine or otherwise dummy nature, all bona fide BBC presenters will be issued with a special, easy-to-recognise identity noise. And today's identity noise is... Bing! If you don't hear this, the announcement is not genuine. Thank you.
This is Radio 2. And now, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ping, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
In the year 650 BC, mighty armies all over the subcontinent of Asia Minor were preparing their trousers for war. In order to conserve their strength, the soldiers were ordered to stop drinking, dancing, and making love, and instead to do them one at a time. From Sparta to Mycenae, the men worked their weekends off and had to sew them back on again. And eventually, after many long months, the women of ancient Turkey and Greece, otherwise known as Meals on Wheels, gathered to watch their husbands set off on one of the most valiant missions of all time, the Trojan Wars.
Mercilessly, the men rode their horses until they could row them no longer. For months and months, they drifted in their huge, powerful ships until at last they reached their destination, the sea. And once again, the brawny galley slaves felt the stinging lash of the Greek whips across their backs, as relentlessly they heaved at their enormous oars.
Come on, you lucky people! Put some life into it! What do you think this is, the teddy bear's picnic? Here, put that gollywog sandwich away! I'll teach you to row first! Bosun!
Yes, sir.
Put on another record!
Yes, sir.
Past Thessalia they journeyed for 20 days and 19 nights, skirting the Straits of Aureus for 14 days and 5 nights, through the deadly waters of Chalcis for 3 days and 51 nights, until eventually Richard Nixon was fired as the ship's log writer. And then finally they found themselves on the very shores of Ilium and began the long march towards the city of Troy.
Yonder lie the walls of Troy. See how tiny and insignificant they are. We'll soon break through that miserable little T-shaped edifice with its silly gold decorations from the ramparts. Ha! Look how small the whole thing is.
Captain!
It couldn't even keep
Captain!
Yes?
I think you're looking at the noseplate on the front of your helmet. Wars of Troy are over there.
Good God, they're enormous. Halt! Yes. We shall need the blessing of the gods if we're to succeed on this one, men. I think it's time for a sacrifice. Where's the official Greek virgin?
There was one here a minute ago, sir.
And?
I'm afraid I got carried away.
But what about the sacrifice?
Oh, it's all right. It was worth it.
Enough, enough. The time has come for action. Tell the men to prepare the brochures.
Oh, no.
Not the brochures again, Captain.
And then tell them to unsheath the current price list.
Oh, no.
Not the current price list.
Now, look, if we're going to interest the Trojans in buying some patio doors, we've got to show them the brochures and the current price list.
But why do we always have to sell our enemies patio doors? Why can't we force them into unconditional surrender some other way?
Well, we did with the Macedonians. We tried to interest them in alpine double glazing and a shower conversion unit in their bathroom.
Sir, the men are growing very weary of all this.
All right, tell them to take a quick intermission.
There will now be a short intermission.
Coming soon to this intermission, a BBC One continuity announcement.
You're watching BBC One. Bing! And now over to the BBC's Outside Reason unit in the very depths of Sunday afternoon planning.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Spotty Young Clever Dicks of the Year. The programme in which schoolchildren suffering from various forms of skin blemishes, blackheads and sebaceous disorders describe how their idea of a fun weekend is 2 days spent measuring the radial symmetry of an owl's pellet.
And as you join us for yet another acne-packed semi-final, let's meet and greet the bunch of pimply little know-alls who'll be putting us off our Heinz Sultana puddings tonight. First of all, we have the Lorraine Chase Depreciation Society, representing Luton Grammar. Next to them, a small percentage of the Oive Maria Academy for Young Gentile Women in Golders Groin. From Reigate in Surrey, the St. Dairy Box Soft Centre for New Darkies.
Thank you, Gus. Well, while they're all dabbing on the calamine lotion, let me introduce our panel of professional scientists and amateur human beings who later on will be lounging around on expensive settees and being patronising like there's no tomorrow. Which, thanks to most of their inventions, there probably won't be. First, the man who developed the eye-level truss for Tom Baker. The silicone chip for computerized memory banks. And for his work on the extraction of David Vine's tongue, he was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. Professor Thrimskins Prodneybottom. Good evening. Next to him, science fiction writer and self-made megalomillionaire, a man whose recent critical reviews forced him to eat charisma pie, Mr. Different Adams. I see comedy as a kind of cheese souffle. Shut up, certainly. And finally, the inventor of G-strings, Y-fronts, and letter openers. He currently works in Ireland, plotting the correlation between thick bacon and pig ignorance. A man whose voice isn't done by me. Good evening, except on special occasions. And now, to find out exactly what our three teams of spotty young clever dicks have been up to this week, over to Nigel Grease.
Team A come from Luton Beds, but you don't need to go Luton Beds to find science like this. They're doing research into particle wave duality and stimulated emission of photons. And stimulated is the word, eh, fellas? We don't have to take a photon that. I wouldn't mind a wave at one of their particles.
All right, come on, that's
they hope
enough.
To verify Cole's law by come numerical on. Methods, but you don't need to eat Cole's law
come
to
the give... intermission's over now. Look, lively men. That's it. Now... to introduce our new strategy against the Trojans, I'd like to introduce you to your second in command, Bigley's King of Blighty.
Now then, squaddies, all those on latrine duty, fall in. If everyone else, listen carefully, because I'm not even going to say this once. Next, report to Winco and get debriefed until I can see my face in them. I'm not in bed with this naked lady for the fun of it, you know.
Sir, the men await your plan of attack.
Right, the plan is this. The infantry and adultery stay here as quickly as they can, while Binky takes two of each man to the officers' jankers and then starts peeling spuds till they see the eyes of their whites. I don't want to hear anyone slacking, so I'm going to lop my ears off with a pair of pinking shears. Is that clear?
Could you repeat that, sir?
No, thank you. I heard it the first time. I'll show those krauts a thing or two. Hitler won't know what hit him.
I don't think Hitler is actually in there, sir.
Late again, is he? Having that old caper of cookies.
No, sir. I think it's you who are a bit early. Hitler isn't due for another 2,500 years.
So, he's playing the old waiting game, is he?
Wigley's.
Yes?
Up there on the battlements of the city, a man dressed in shiny black battle gear.
And there's another, clad in the paint and feathers of war.
You're right. There are five of them, all in a strange fighting garb. What on earth are they up to?
We're the Trojans. So we're dressed in fancy clothes. We're the Trojans. And all that time, one of those. We're the Trojans. We just want our songs to sell. We're the Trojans. So we camp around like hell.
Homer's Iliad, Book 41. Translated from the Greek by Adams Minor of the Remove. Thus, the armies of Priam, did they taunt the soldiers Greek with high camp having on the hill been pitched. Verily, in order their commander to see was Bigley's, beyond all doubt a man surroundering the twist. Ping, bub. Meanwhile, however, on Mount Love to Olympus, the Trojan siege were taking an interest great in the Greek gods.
Behold, fellow gods of Olympus, for this day I bring you the results of the judgment of Paris. As you know, this was a contest held among our three noblest goddesses to decide which one of them had the most beautiful breasts. And here are the results. Athene 2, Hera 2. Aphrodite 3,947.
Oh! I demand a recount.
I'll do it.
Say you, Hermes, god of travellers.
Oh, please don't ask. I'm in the middle of hypermorbid paranoid depression here.
Oh, here we go again.
I went to see my philosopher again this morning. He tells me I haven't got long to go. Maybe 4 or 5 years at the most.
What do you mean?
Well, that's how long he thinks it'll take for him to prove I don't exist. I tell you, I'm becoming a nervous wreck. I've had 15 shrinks now. They all postulate a material universe founded on atheistic assertions opposing any concept of anthropomorphism. Deism.
Why don't you try Thales of Miletus?
I tried Thales of Miletus. He told me I was an irrational hypothesis based on fallacious theological dogma. So I fired him. I went to Heraclitus of Ephesus. He said I was a Greek myth. Last week I was trying to make up with this mortal in Sicily. I had to argue with her for 5 hours on the rationale of a dualistic polytheist system before we could get to bed. And then I blew it. I told her I was omnipotent. I guess she misheard me.
Well, I'm sorry I can't help you, Hermes. I've got a lot of people to see today. Send the next one in, would you, Hera?
Yes, Zeus.
Behold, I am Testicles. Mightiest in strength, bravest in battle, god with the awesome ability to withstand any blow by virtue of the wondrous gift of invulnerability.
I see. Come over here, please, would you?
Over there, Testicles bows to no being.
Come over here before I lay one on you.
Lay one on me. Lay one on me. Oh, as a child, my mother bathed me in the magic waters of the Styx. There is no pain on earth that... When Yusha should have held me by the heels.
Right, that bit of him. Next!
Pylies,
Pylies?
Yes, god of Prunties, sir.
God of what?
Prunties, sir.
I see. How long have you been a god here, Pylies?
Getting on for a bit now, sir.
Leave her alone and answer the question.
Just over infinity, sir.
I see. Now, I expect you are well aware that up here things have been getting rather overcrowded of late. As from now, I'm demoting you to lowly mortal status. You'll be in charge of giving directions to weedy little men in the street.
Excuse me, can you direct me to Oxbridge Circus, please?
Yes, straight down this strip of recording tape for 3 seconds, and it's the big pattern of ferrous particles straight ahead.
Oh, thank you.
Come in. Close the door, would you? Sorry about the sound effects. We've just gone metric.
Oh, see?
I'll be with you in just a moment, sir. Won't keep you, sir. Right, what can I do for you, sir?
I'm looking for Eddie's 24-hour all-night sniffery.
One moment, sir. Yes, this is it, sir. How can I help you?
Well, I've brought a pair of socks in to be sniffed.
Right, hold on. I'll just get my pencil out. Oh, that's better. Now then, one pair of socks to be sniffed, is it?
That's right, yes.
And would you like them hand-sniffed, sir?
Yes, please.
How?
I beg your pardon?
How are we going to sniff them with our hands?
Well, you just said that...
Never mind what I said, you stupid little man. Don't you think the concept of my running a 24-hour all-night sniffery is ludicrous enough without ignoramuses like you coming in making impossible suggestions? Think before you speak. Now then... How would you like these socks sniffed?
Nose sniffed.
That's better. And where are the particular socks you want me to sniff?
Here we are, here.
These are trousers, sir.
Pardon?
These are trousers, not socks.
Sorry, what's the difference?
Look. Here is a photo of a sock, do you see? And here is a sock of a photo.
Oh, I see.
Now then, when you're wearing these trousers, which side do you dress?
Outside.
Fine. Now, you want them nose sniffed. Anybody in particular's nose?
Oh, yes, please. Jonathan Miller's.
Oh. Now, that may be a little tricky.
How do you mean?
Well, we do send the odd express sniff job out to Mr. Miller, but we found that in practice anything smaller than a duffel coat and you may never see it again.
I'll just have them sniffed economy class then, please.
Might you are. Now, excuse me. Hello?
My foot's just going now.
I beg your pardon.
My foot, it's just gone. Flushed away nicely.
I see. You may as well run along now. Something wackier has come up.
All right.
What do you mean? What are you doing?
I have decided to flush myself down the lavatory in 80 days.
Flush yourself down the lavatory in 80 days, whatever for?
To promote greater world harmony and provide a sound basis for East-West détente.
Pardon?
I am completely loony.
I see.
Yes, down the lavatory you'll find swimming, dancing, nightlife, and above all, ATV quiz shows.
Yes, it's another edition of
family fortunes or a road accident, we're not sure which. The variety show that's made Bob Monkhouse out of a star. And turn the ad lib into a notifiable disease. And on the show tonight are the Dregs of the Earth family from Feltham in Somerset, and the Dregs of the Universe family from Andover, Bristol. All here to play Family Fortunes or a Road Accident, we're not sure which.
Hello, good evening, and just a reminder that my name is Bob Babbage, and here behind me, wearing a suit he wouldn't be seen alive in, is our resident computer, Mr. Monkhouse. And, as I'm sure you don't need to know, stored up in Mr. Monkhouse's complex brain circuits are a total of 4,500,000 original jokes, two of which he wrote personally. And that was one of them. And that was the other one. So, hello, good evening, and now let's meet our first contestant, and your name, sir, is...
Arthur William, don't do that in the font, Hedneson. I'm a dead rat by profession, and I enjoy tonsillectomies, tracheotomies, and all major forms of throat surgery, and I have also just applied for a job as milkmaid in a postnatal clinic.
So, your name is Arthur. Well, hello, good evening, and let's now feed the word Arthur into Mr. Monkhouse's memory circuit and see what comes out.
Two runners, series 4, show 3, 70th gag on the news desk.
How does he think of them? Well, hello, good evening, and let's now meet Arthur's wife.
My name is Ethel Heinrich Scrofula. I am the cornerstone of the local women's guild, the foundation of the Red Cross, and a steel girder beneath the co-op. I used to work in Soho until I got back on my feet. And I am now employed by Barbara Cartland as the driver of her facelift truck.
So, you drive a truck. Well, hello, good evening, and let's feed that phrase, truck driver, into Mr. Monkhouse.
Frost Report, 3rd of August, 1966, page 19, fourth joke from the book.
Stop it, please. The laughter's killing me.
Laughter's killing you. Much binding in the marsh. Show 34, punchline to the opening routine.
Where does he get them from?
If these aren't my own jokes, may God strike me.
Homer's Iliad, book 42. Translated from the Greek this time by an extremely eminent professor of classics. Meanwhile, the armies Greek, the siege having been protracted greatly, had ascended with an idea very luminous to break into the Trojans without the walls of the city noticing.
Come on, men, put your backs out and get some fingers into it. We'll give those Rhineland wops a dose of what for. Up you get, men. Climb inside the horse.
But, sir.
No arguing. Just get inside. Right. Now, this is a foolproof plan. I proved it myself. We've got 6 men inside the horse. We get the Trojans to take the horse into the city, and Monk is your uncle. Any of you got any points you'd like to raise? Yes, I realize that, but think how they feel.
My men have come up with a better idea.
What?
Well, we get out the catapult and then launch a devastating blitzkrieg on the city.
What sort of devastating blitzkrieg?
Eric Powd of Croydon.
Well, Mr. Croydon, how are things?
Not so dusty.
Don't do that with a vacuum cleaner.
Sorry.
Now, where exactly did you spring from?
I am but a simple goatherd tending his flock.
I see. I expect you drink a lot of your milk from goats.
No, from a glass, usually. Here, my wife, Leda, she hasn't been very happy just lately.
No?
No. The other day, she was ravished by Zeus in the form of a swan.
Did she get down in the dumps?
She got it everywhere, mate. Then a short while after, she gave birth to a son, whose name was Custer.
No Pollux?
No. No, he was devoured at birth by his brother.
Oh, Custer ate him.
Hence the expression, yeah.
Isn't it Perry? Well, as you know, we're now going to fire you at the city of Troy. Are you feeling up to it?
No, I was just scratching my leg, that's it.
Get into that catapult, you grubby, wizened little... right, Bigley, sir.
Yes?
All ready for launching. Oh, remember, sir, this is a multiple re-entry Eric Pode of Croydon.
Good Lord, what's that?
Well, when we fire it, it'll split into a whole shower of deadly jokes. The Trojans won't know what hit them.
Right. Prepare to aim.
Sir?
Fire!
From a glass, usually. Quit it now. He got it everywhere. The expression. No, I'm just scratching my leg.
Iliad, lesson 43, translated from the Greek by the smash hit TV series Now Back His Way with Burgess spelled wrong. And thus, in the year 650, before broadcasting corporations, Kendall, Joe, Emmett, Chris, Reese, Nigel, and Harris Fred, did they marshal the jokes of Andrew Murder and David Renwick? While watching producer David bring forth young birds of the BBC, bring forth young birds. See you all again next week, folks. Till then, gay, energetic wages!